Yeah, it's tough work. Thank you, Clive. Thank you, team. And I just want to really say thank you to those that are giving regularly and irregularly, maybe a small gift, a large gift. God sees that. God is working in your life, right? He's coming out of who you are, your work, even in your money. And I think it's very good to see a sign of health here. And we thank God mostly for what he's doing. So today we're going to be continuing in our sermon series through Advent. Advent meaning arrival or the coming of God. This morning I want to talk to you about an Advent story of two very elderly saints who encounter the love of God in a moment that reshapes the rest of their life from that point on. So if you have a Bible, you can go with me to Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 25. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25. Just as you're flipping there, if you have no idea who I am, and maybe you're new here, I just wanted to say I'm so glad that you made it. I'm so glad that you came to church. I'm so glad that you would trust us with your morning. I remember going to church one day and thinking to myself, God, I'm going to give you this last shot. Yeah, I remember that. I was, Lord, I want you to speak to me today. And he did. He met me in that moment. And so maybe that's you today. I'm just glad that you're here. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Trying to remember that phrase. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms. Simeon took the child in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation for the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Wow, what a beautiful thing he says. Verse 33, "And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and as a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul. To that end, many thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She did not leave the temple grounds, serving night and day with fasts and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak about him to all those who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." This is God's words, we say. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, in this season of waiting, I'm just conscious of those listening in online, Lord, us as we coming to the scripture. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us by your word? Reorder our desires, quiet our hearts to receive with open hands the gift that comes from you and you alone. Lord, I pray that I would be clear as I speak today, Lord, that we would have soft hearts, that you would do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's a lot of God doing a good work and revealing himself in this passage. I wonder if you've ever asked God to reveal himself to you. God, show me who you are. Show me that you're real. I remember being a young teenager and struggling with the idea of faith and wanting God to prove to himself to me that he existed. We come up with the most harebrained ideas to do that, don't we? I mean, I was walking to school and I remember just really mad, you know, about God. Are you real? I don't know. How am I supposed to live my life? And so I said, okay, God, if you're real, you know, 14-year-old John, if you're real, I want you to get that robin to jump out of that tree and land on the hood of that car and then drink from that puddle. Okay, Lord, so show me who you are. Right? I don't know if you've ever done anything like that. Did it happen? No. Why not? Well, I think what we'll see from today's passage is that God loves in his own freedom. God's love is ultimately free. He is free to love, and God reveals himself the way that he wants to, the way that he wants to, the way that is best for us, even to people who've been waiting on his promises for decades. God, I'm waiting on an answered prayer, Lord, will you answer my prayer? I'm waiting for you, Lord. God loves in freedom in his time. And in the passage I read for us, Luke teaches us a lot. He teaches there's so many things we could talk about this morning. We could talk about the obedience to the law of Anna and Simeon, or we could talk about the movement from the Old Testament to the New, this idea of the covenant love of God into the New Testament. We could talk about how Jesus fulfills Israel's story, right? There's a lot in there. But today I want to hone in on really one thread I think is running quietly but powerfully beneath this text, the thread of love. And it's this love that Simeon and Anna have been waiting for their whole lives, waiting on love. And what I think you'll see is that just like Simeon and Anna, you and I, the love that we are longing for is not something you need to go and find. It is someone who comes to you. Love's not something you need to go and find. It's someone who comes to you. Luke introduces Simeon first. He talks about Simeon. He said, we're told that Simeon is a righteous and devout, a man who's oriented his whole life around this idea, as I was reading it, right? The consolation of Israel. And that phrase, we read some Isaiah earlier, but that phrase is actually from the prophecies in Isaiah, and what it represents is this hope and this longing. God, will you please save my country? God, will you please heal this broken world? God, will you please do what you promised you would do? Will you please help the government? Will you please help the poor? Lord, help us. We need the consolation of Israel, right? And so he's longing. He's looking for the consolation of Israel. He's a man desperate to experience God's love in this way. And then Anna's introduced next. She is, as we're told, an aged prophetess, right? At least 84 years old. Okay, so 84 is on the young side. She could be as old, depending on how you count it, as old as 105. I think we can agree that that's old, right? And what is she doing with her time? She's fasting and she's praying. She is enduring. She has suffered a lot of loss in her life, but she hasn't lost hope. And she too is waiting, and she names this waiting differently. She doesn't say the consolation of Israel. She says the redemption of Jerusalem. While there is much that we could say about their faithfulness and how God unfolds his plan, how God reveals himself through this plan, what I want to submit to us today is that this consolation of Israel, this redemption of Jerusalem, is this love that God has revealed. Simeon and Anna are deeply desiring the love of God to affect and heal the world. This love is described throughout the Bible. One of the most important theological concepts in the Old Testament is described by this word, hesed, hesed. If you were Jewish, you would correct my pronunciation. You would say it's chesed, right? It's like there's something stuck in your throat, right? It's this pronunciation of, it's one of those Hebrew words that we really can't put into English. It's really hard. Sometimes if you speak a couple languages, you know not all words translate. But we try to capture it with different ways in the scriptures. It's the love of loyal devotion, covenant faithfulness, to act with steadfast kindness, to remain when others leave, to hold fast in committed promise-keeping love. It is love that stays when every other love fails. That's what the hesed love of God is. It is the love of God that binds himself to others, period. Not based on what others do. It's what he promised he would do. And that is the love that Simeon and Anna have spent their whole lives longing, crying out, God, when will this hesed love change the world? When will it happen? And their waiting is patient. It's not passive, okay? So it's not like the waiting for the Amazon package, okay? It's more like the waiting of a pregnant mother. All of life is about this right now. All of your thinking, all of your longing is about this moment that you're developing your life and your work schedule, and when you're going to go, all of these things are built around this waiting and this longing for this love to arrive. The love that they are holding on to is God's Hesed love. I want to talk to you a little bit about what Hesed love is. Let me tell you a little bit about it. This is the kind of love that sustained a nation from losing their identity while they were in exile. This is the kind of love that sustained Israel in exile. It is the kind of love that David's Psalms sing about. It is the kind of love that David encounters. It is the kind of love that the prophets proclaim even in spite of being threatened with death. It's the kind of love that they continually come back to. It's the kind of love that refuses to give up, even when everything else gives up. And something I think is worth noting is that these two older folks, and they are very old, okay, are also being sustained by that love, even in their waiting for it. Even as they are waiting for this Hesed love to arrive. Note what Luke says, the Holy Spirit three times is on Simeon. We can see the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit's guiding Simeon. The Holy Spirit's anointing Simeon. The Holy Spirit is with Simeon. That God, even in the people waiting for this love to arrive, is sustaining them by this same Hesed love. Even when the promises feel slow in coming, even when the bodies that are holding on to it start to grow old, Hesed love is renewing. It is helping hold on to hope. You know, when I talk with people I grew up with, some of them are very surprised that I'm a pastor, and some of them are more polite about it. You know, some of them are like, oh, pastoring, wow, I never would have thought. Others are like, dude, really? Amazing. And they say, you know, because we have history, because we have a past together, they say, okay, I got to be honest with you. I see the emptiness in the world. I see it. I see that it's broken. And I want to try God. But I even know how. What do I do? I don't know if I believe. I don't know if I want to follow that God. And I don't feel the warm things. Like, I don't know. You know what I say to them? So what? So what you don't feel it? You think we do everything because we feel it? Right? Okay, you don't really believe. You don't know what you believe. You're still exploring what you believe. So what? This is not what God requires of us to follow him. We don't need to always feel it. We don't need to know with absolute certainty. We got to show up. So I say to them, okay, go to church. You don't have to come to mine. Go to church. Sit in the back. Sit in the back with Dave, right? Dave will take you. Sit in the back. Just watch. Just go and be there. Wait for God. See what happens. Wait for him. And that's the posture we see in Anna and Simeon. Just show up and wait. Wait for God. Think about Simeon and Anna. Do you think they might have had some cause to give up on God? After 80 years of waiting, 80 years of showing up, 80 years of faithful service, do you think they may have had some reason to give up? Do you think they felt it every day? I don't think so. And here in the temple, that Hesed love of God finally arrives, not as an idea, not as words on a page, not as a prophecy, but actually as a baby. The embodied love of God. Hebrews would say the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus, the embodiment of God's Hesed love, becomes visible, tangible, an expression of God's faithful love come near to you and to me. Here, God's love walks into the temple being held by Mary and Joseph, and Simeon sees the child and sees the fulfillment of everything that he's ever longed for, and this is the heart of God's love. This is what it means to keep Advent. that we say to ourselves, God does not keep distant. God comes near. God arrives, so much so that he can be held. This is the kind of love that Simeon and Anna were waiting for. So the love that you are longing for, the love that I am longing for, is not something we need to go and find. It's someone who comes to us. You know, when we think about the word love, we use it for a many different thing, right? We use the word love for some of the most beautiful parts of our life and some of the most inconsequential things in our lives, right? Maybe you love your family, you love your friends, and you also love that bag of chips, right? And you love chocolate or whatever it is, these specific things, right? You love these things in your life. They are gifts. They help give shape to your life. They give deep meaning to your life. And what Advent is inviting us to think about is to expand our horizons on what love really is. It's not asking us to diminish what we love. Instead, it's contrasting what we may confuse love to be. It teaches us not to confuse these regular loves with the love that only God can give, the Hesed love of God. Let me give you an example, a parent's love. A parent's love is one of the greatest gifts in the world. But even a parent's love has a holy limit on it, okay? What do I mean? Well, if a parent tries to be everything for their child, if they try to do everything for them, they try to lift them up in every way possible, that intended strengthening can become a smothering, right? And this child who is longing to please their parents is now feels like it's an expectation that they have to please their parents because this parent love has gone out of control. A child, listen, parents, a child needs you to be their parent, not their God. All right? We need to hear that as parents. I don't need to be their God. I need to be their parent. Right? Friendship love is just the same. A friend's love is deep, and it's an essential gift in this life. But a friend's love cannot replace a God. It cannot replace God's love. If we lean on a friend for what only God can give, right? Friends are compatriots. They're companions. They go with us along the way. But they are not meant to give us identity. They're not meant to give us redemption or meaning. When we elevate the friendship to a place where it doesn't belong, we end up distorting it. And here's what happens, right? The moment, maybe this has happened to you, the moment you cling to a friendship too closely, what happens? That friend is either very, you know, they become rid of you, or they are your master now, right? When you try to cling to this friendship, and it actually, you're intending to strengthen it, but it unravels, and you've ruined it by clinging too closely, by loving it too much, by misplacing your love. Romantic love is just the same. Romantic love is powerful and beautiful, but when you look to your partner beyond their holy limit, when you look to your partner to give you meaning, to give you purpose, you crush them. Right? Spouses, marriages, listen to me. If you are looking to your spouse for what only God can give you, you will distort your marriage. Only God can give this Hesed love. Yes, romantic love is important, but no human heart was meant to bear the weight of your need for God's love. These loves are beautiful, but they aren't meant to replace God's love, his Hesed love. So if we return to the text, I want us to pay attention to what Simeon and Anna are actually doing. I want you to notice that they're not manufacturing a feeling. They're not manufacturing love for God. They're not searching for the right feeling, hoping it just kind of hits them. Instead, they are waiting with open hands, attentive, expectant, waiting and waiting. They're faithfully making space for God's faithful love to arrive. And this is actually exactly how we ought to relate to God, to wait on God. I love Thomas Merton, a theologian, once said, he was talking about prayer, but I think it applies here. He said that prayer is us waiting to get a word from God that we can't give to ourselves, right? You can have all the affirmations in your life, but prayer is waiting for us to get that word from God that I can't say to myself, that nobody else can say to me. And Advent is much the same way. The invitation of Advent is for us to receive a gift from God that we can't give to ourselves. We can't. We can't give this gift to ourselves. It's like what do dads want for Christmas, right? Don't buy me a present, right? Just give me your love, right? It's the same. It's the same. Only God can give some gifts to us. And what we see in the dedication of Jesus at the temple is God's chesed love coming near to you, comforting you. If Simeon and Anna are showing you and me anything this morning, it's this, that the love that they receive is not something any human being can generate. Experiencing chesed love is not the result of you know, praying and fasting all day long. It's not the result of emotional intelligence or wisdom in your old age. It's not something that they can cultivate from within. It is something that must come to them. I need something on the outside to come and fix what's on the inside. And this is why Simeon's peace and Anna's praise are so striking. They're not praising the triumph of human devotion. They are the fruit of God's self-disclosure, God's action, God coming near to them. One theologian says this, that God loves in freedom, which means the robin in the trunk and the puddle don't work. It means that you know, God cannot be managed. His love can't be managed. It can't be manipulated. It can't be predicted. It cannot be produced. It arrives when it wants to. It arrives as a revelation, as a gift that breaks into your waiting. That's what it means to experience this love. And this is something we can't do by ourselves. And this really is the beating heart of Advent. It's not that we can climb our ascent to God and go up to God and go get him and bring him down to us. Rather, the heart of Advent is this, that God descended to us, that God came to us. That the love you're longing for is not something you need to find. It's someone who's actually coming to you. Advent teaches us that the love we most need is revealed. As love is revealed. And Luke shows us exactly where love is revealed. In the temple. In a beautiful moment. It happens in a moment where the presence of Jesus, the child, comes to an old man. And when Simeon and Anna, what they could never generate, God does. Luke says that Simeon, who is guided by the Spirit, comes to the temple at just the right time, right? That's not a coincidence. It's just the right time. This is God's divine orchestration. And when he takes the child Jesus into his arms, something bubbles up out of his soul. Now, I've seen it. This is what I've been waiting for. I've seen the peace of God. I've seen the Lord. Let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Right? Something happened in Simeon's life. God met him in his prayer. Note what Simeon does not say. He does not say, I have discovered a salvation from the Lord. Right? He says, no, I've seen it. I behold it. It's here. Look at it. This is what it means. It's a work that he beholds. It's God's work that he witnesses to. And that's the essence of God demonstrating his love. At just the right time, God does the work. God shows himself. And what does Simeon see? Not just a baby, he sees the embodiment of chesed. He sees the faithful love of God made visible, tangible, even holdable. He sees the love that is not content to remain distant and afar. He sees love come close. He sees the love of God come near to him in the Lord's Christ. And Anna sees the same reality. After a lifetime of prayer and waiting, she doesn't have to force praise out of herself. It just naturally rises up from within her. She just praises and recognizes what God has done. It's just what happens when she sees him. And then she goes on telling others all that she has seen, what God has done. He has answered her prayer that God is bringing the redemption of Jerusalem. I love that God, in his infinite wisdom, uses a baby. Isn't this amazing? I mean, you could not plan that. You could never think that up. But God uses a baby. What's amazing is the irony. Can you see what happens in the incarnation of Jesus Christ? God is displaying his almighty strength in his weakness. God is going to do, through a helpless baby, he's going to do what no world leader, no emperor, no president, no trillionaire could ever do. God is going to right the world through Jesus Christ. In coming to us as a child, he's going to do what our strongest leaders could never do, what you and I could never do. Jesus helps us know the love of God by being the love, by himself embodying the love, by being Hesed incarnate. In Jesus, God's steadfast love and faithfulness are no longer something we need, that Israel needs to wait for. He is revealed. He is something Simeon holds. He is something Anna praises. He is the God of love that we behold by faith. That God arrives to us. If this is who Jesus is, the revealed love of God, the one in whom salvation becomes visible, becomes holdable, then the question for us is no longer, how do we generate this love? How do we access God's love? The question becomes for us, how do we receive this love? How do we receive a child as our Lord? Because the story doesn't end with Simeon and Anna simply praising God's love or seeing God's love. It continues in how they respond. When the love of God is revealed in Jesus, the invitation for you and for me is not to perform, not now to say, okay, Lord, now that you're here, I got to impress you. I got to live a perfect life or whatever it might be. Rather, it is to receive this. How do we do that? The scripture shows us. To take the same posture that Simeon and Anna took when God's Hesed love breaks into their life. What is it like to receive God? I would explain it this way. Try and do a mental picture with me, if you will. If you can imagine a great mountain, and we'll call the mountain faith, okay? And all the religions of the world are gathered at the foot of the mountain. And at the top of the mountain of faith, there is, you name it, there's heaven, or there's God, or there's enlightenment, or there's nirvana, there's inner peace, there's joy, whatever everybody would say is the telos of their faith. And while all the religions of the world are saying, climb the mountain, climb up, get up there, right? Scrape and claw if you have to. Christianity has a different message. God is not at the top of the mountain. God has come down the mountain. God has come down the mountain for you and for me to stand in our mess, to stand in my life as it really is, to be honest before God with who I really am, to simply wait for him to act upon me. This is God's invitation to me. This is how you receive him. You don't need to climb the mountain. Jesus will carry you. Jesus will carry you up the mountain. He enters the temple. He is carried in the arms of a young mother. He comes to people who are not ascending at all. People like Simeon and Anna who are simply waiting in old age for God to do something. I want to speak to those of us, especially those who hear this and quietly think to themselves, I really want that. I want that. I'm tired of not having God in my life. I actually want God in my life. I want to know the love that you're talking about, John, but I don't know it. I don't know it. I'm tired of the ideas about God. I'm tired of looking up online about who God is. I'm tired of trying to feel like a Christian. All right, I want the real thing. And if that's you, if you've thought those thoughts, if you think that way, I need you to hear the good news of Advent for you today, that the love of God comes to you in the same way that it came to Simeon and to Anna. Surprise. God comes to you in his own time that God loves you in his freedom as a revelation, as a gift, as a person. Will you follow a person? Will you follow Jesus? That's what it means to simply receive him. So I want to pray for us today as we close. Just invite the worship team to come on up. Maybe for you right now, you're hearing me and you're thinking, yes, I need that. That's me. I just want to lead you in a prayer. And there's a lot of Christians in the room. Let's encourage our friends, okay? Would you pray with me? Let's all pray together. Just repeat words after me. You don't have to if you don't want to. Zero pressure to do that. But I know sometimes I need a little bit of courage from my neighbor to pray a prayer. If you want to do that, please do that. And I'll just pray a simple prayer of receiving Jesus and saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do what they're saying. I'm going to show up. I'm going to sit in the back, even if I don't feel it. I'm going to see what you're saying to me. Let me pray. If you want to pray with me, just repeat the words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to follow you. Lord, will you redeem me? Will you console me? I give my life to you. Amen. 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 Let's stand and respond in worship today.